strong. Everything is about me.
It must have been 50 different faces.
Growing up, you know, where you don't even have your own birthday.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Silent bosses.
I'm gonna beat you, girl.
Be prepared to work without applause.
You got to encourage yourself. Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo woo.
Today, we are talking about silent bosses.
The people behind the scenes.
Yes. So.
The man behind the man behind the man.
Behind the man or the woman. And so, when you say that, I immediately think of, you know, people that are not wearing the shiny suits, which makes me think of, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but back when we were growing up, Suge Knight got on, I think it was during the Source Awards, and
it was, and he, I know where you're going,
and he says, you know, hey, if you want to be an artist and you don't want to have the producer all in the video and the shiny suits,
yeah,
dancing, you know, right, ad-libbing and yourself, come to Death Row. And so to me, that, because Puffy was sort of the first, he was talking about Puffy.
Yeah, he was definitely talking about Puffy.
And so Puffy was sort of the first producer.
He was the anti-behind the scenes.
Correct. And was the first person like, yay, hey, I'm not behind the scenes. I'm out here letting y'all know I'm making this hit record. It's me. And so to me, since Puffy, there's been this culture of, look at me, I'm a hit maker. Look at me, I'm a king maker. I'm a queen maker. And
I don't just write, I'm also an artist. I don't just produce, I'm also an artist.
Right, or I am the producer, but I want you to know my name, right? Or I am the publisher, but I want you to know my name. And so, and if you don't call my name, I'll call my name. I'll call my own name. And so, or I'll get someone else to call my name and tag me in it. And so we wanted to do an episode about people who move sort of quietly, who are bosses, who you might not get the shine that you think.
The invisible people.
The invisible people. The first thing that sort of was a catalyst to this episode is I live in Houston, and so I'm a Rockets fan, and James Harden, who plays for the Rockets, the Houston Rockets.
That's the NBA. That's basketball, homies.
Correct. signed a new contract this summer, and I'm not sure if it still is, but at the time that he signed the contract, it was the largest contract in NBA history. And so he signed something like a 4-year extension for $60 million, which brought his total, you know, compensation to like $228 million over 6 years. And I immediately thought to myself, who negotiated that deal?
Who's getting 10% of that?
Right. Who, and maybe that's the lawyer, but I always think that when some big deal goes down, when Amazon and Whole Foods cut, I'm thinking, who cut the deal? Like, who were the lawyers? Who were the agents? Who cut the deal? And I was more curious about it because his agent used to be very shiny, Rob Pelinka.
Yeah, he was definitely a super agent. I think he actually did a guest appearance on Entourage one time.
Yeah, so very kind of Ari Gold-like, you know. And so we knew who he was. And we also knew that he recently left from being an agent because he had gone to be the GM of...
Of the Lakers. Magic hired him.
Oh, I thought it was the Clippers.
Nobody leaves to being a super agent to go be the GM of
stop
the Clippers.
Stop it. She didn't mean that to all the Clippers fans. But anyway, so I knew that Rob Pelinka was no longer his agent. So I get to sort of Googling the deal and, much to my pleasant surprise, find out.
Excitement.
It was a woman. Her name is Diana Day. And she negotiated.
Let's say her name again. Diana Day.
Diana Day. Hey, Diana.
If you listen, holler at us, tweet us.
And so when I realized this, I did a little research on Diana Day. and realized that she wasn't even really an agent. She worked for Rob Pelinka, was doing marketing and PR in the group. And then
she is a lawyer though, right?
Right. By training, went to law school. And Rob Pelinka went to the Lakers, James Harden asked her to be his agent. And then shortly after coming into the job, within months, cuts this mammoth historic deal for him.
Right. So, you know, we want to talk a little bit about the characteristics of like the people behind the scenes of major moves being made. And one of the people that comes to mind for me for that is David Plouffe. And I may not be pronouncing his name properly, but he is the gentleman who is widely credited with coming up with the campaign strategy for Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. And that may not sound like a big deal, except for at the time, they beat one of the biggest political Goliaths of our generation.
The Clintons.
The Clintons.
The Clintons.
And I remember in February of 2007, when Barack Obama announced his candidacy for presidency, because it was the same day as the State of the Black Union that Tavis Smiley and Cornel West was having. And I remember thinking, gosh, I'm going to be with him and I'm going to waste my vote. And I was excited, but I really thought it was going to be like Jesse Jackson in 1984. Run, Jesse, run. Mm-hmm. Where it was just going to be like this, you know, a moral victory.
It was going to be historic.
More
run.
Right. More victory.
But you didn't think he was going to win.
But David Plouffe was like, no, we got a plan. We're going to execute that plan. And again, that's not a name that's even widely known, because he isn't like a David Axelrod that gets on the Sunday shows and does interviews or anything like that.
Right. And I think it's sort of the idea of the people who block and tackle if you're in football, or the guy that's passing the assist if you're in basketball. And it is a reminder that all of those people are a part of a winning strategy. And so, you know, one of the first things I would say to pop us off is it Ernest Hemingway, or my first tip is you must be prepared to work without applause if you're going to be successful in corporate America.
Hello, somebody. That is absolutely correct. I cannot tell you how many great things that I've done in my career that no one knows anything about. And I am not alone. There, we could all name numerous things probably last week that you did that was paramount to a deal, substantial, that nobody knows anything about.
Right. And so I always say the recognition you're going to get is your paycheck. And so if you wait for applause to accomplish something, you're going to accomplish nothing. So you just need to go ahead and get going.
So my next tip is you need to receive satisfaction derived from the work itself. If you're looking for some type of external satisfaction,
exactly.
Corporate America is not for you. You've got to be jazzed internally. Like, man, I know this isn't about me, but she's not going to shout herself out because we weren't raised to do that. But I remember Demetrius, the first time she had to go to court, and all she was supposed to do was like, and I'm not a lawyer, but like enter in something into the court, like some document or what have you. And she did all this preparation because she was like, what if they ask me a question? And da da da.
I cannot believe you remember this. Oh my gosh.
And so like you gotta be jazzed. And then lo and behold, they asked her a question.
They asked me a bunch of questions.
And she was like, I was in there getting it. I killed it. Right? So that was a moment that Demetria and I basically, as Patrice Thomas likes to say, if you talk to us when something good happens, we will have you doing the running man in your apartment or doing the cabbage patch by yourself.
I cannot believe you remember
so
that.
You gotta get the satisfaction from the work itself.
Yes, which is, you know, dovetails nicely into my next point, which is you make a personal commitment to excellence. And I was there to announce a continuance. So that's a great point. I had forgotten about that. So even though I was there to announce a continuance, I'm not going with the continuance and not know what the case is about, not know the status of where we are, not have some idea, because I am committed to excellence in my practice. And I say that about everything, how you dress, how you carry yourself, even if everyone else is waddling in mediocrity, you make a personal commitment to excellence, because excellence is, and Oprah says this all the time, it is the great equalizer. It overcomes racism and sexism. Excellence is, well, I can't say always does, but you have a better chance of overcoming those things when you are excellent.
I 100% agree with that about the personal commitment to excellence. You know, I tell my team, even for myself, every week, every day, I am trying to be the absolute best banker on the planet. By virtue, I'm going to have to beat some other people, beat them out of deals if you're a competitor bank, generate greater revenue if you're working with me at the bank that I'm at today. But it's really not about them. It's really about myself and trying to, you know, outplay myself, be my best. And so that's actually interesting, because my next tip is that all of these, you know, behind the scenes bosses, they have a need to compete. Okay, so they have an intrinsic need to compete. I don't know anybody that's a silent boss, a loud boss, any kind of boss that doesn't have a competitive streak.
And you know, that's so funny you say that, because if the homies follow me on social media, you'll know that right now it is October of 2017, and I'm in the middle of a 21-day, which I don't know why they call it, it's really a 30-day fitness challenge. And I have an internal need to compete. And so there are other ladies doing the challenge with me. And I was talking to one of them one morning when we were running, run walk homies for me.
Wogging is what I like to call it.
Right, wogging, exactly. And one of the ladies said something like, well, you know, when I had my two Snickers yesterday, something, and I remember thinking, Snickers is on your meal plan? That I don't have a meal plan with Snickers
on it. I'm gonna beat you, girl.
Right. Well, it's so much about beating her. I just thought, when I put myself in situations like these, because I wasn't really thinking about beating her, I just thought, when I commit to doing this and I get up at 5 a.m. and I am, you know, pushing myself to these types of limits, I'm not going to sabotage myself with two Snickers, right? Because I'm just, and I thought, well, that's just that competitive drive in myself. I want to beat me. And I know I can't beat myself from yesterday if I eat two Snickers.
Right. And I just wanted to say, like, you know, there's so many what I call it's silent bosses out there. I think about like anesthesiologists, right? No one ever shouts the anesthesiologist. You don't even know who the anesthesiologist is on any surgery unless something has gone wrong, right? But they make an incredible amount of money. You cannot have a surgery, doesn't matter how good the surgeon is, if they don't get you knocked out properly for the surgery.
That's right. And nobody ever shouts them out. They shout out the doctor who did the surgery. And if you're not put out right, and that's a great, great, great example. Okay, my next one is, if you're moving in silence, you're probably going to have to remind yourself of your wins. So you will have to have your own personal cheerleader. You know, we talk about this on many episodes, from preparing for your self-evaluation. You need your own hero file or glory file, where you can come back and realize the good things that you have made happen. Or if you work for a boss that really just, sometimes you're a silent boss because you just work for someone who doesn't know how to affirm you. You don't want to be a silent boss. You don't want to move in silence, but you're stuck working for someone who's never going to give you the proper recognition. And so this episode is also for you, even though you're like, I like being shiny, I just work for someone who won't shine, who won't give me the shine. That's where your glory file or your hero file comes in as well. Or having someone in your life, like a Bimitra, who's going to remind you of moments when you did shine, like she just did for me.
And like the song says, you got to encourage yourself sometimes.
That's
right. You got to encourage yourself.
Speak over yourself.
And if you're not encouraging yourself, homies, I'm telling you, you should. You should look in the mirror and say, we killed it today. We did this, this, and this. Everything was on point. There wasn't a question we got in that meeting, in that presentation we weren't prepared for. We did great. And I don't care if you need to tell yourself that. Encourage yourself. So
I am, you know, we were just talking about that, affirmations. I was actually talking to my brother about that, and he was talking about how he likes to do that, with his kids, you know, to say at night after they brush their teeth, like, I am smart. I am happy. I love Jesus. You know, I love my brothers and sisters. I love my family. But like you said, I killed it today. I did great. And there's a place for that, even for you as an adult.
Yeah, and the next thing I would say is you've got to have a capacity to let go. You're going to have some missteps. You're going to make some mistakes. But the silent bosses, they learn from those mistakes. They do their best not to make that the same mistake twice. It's one of the things that you definitely do in sports. After every game, whether that game was a win or a loss, you watch film. And you watch this film to see, you know, what did we do well? What didn't we do well? And it reminds me of I was talking to a friend of mine who had played professional football. And I said, what do y'all do at training camp? Because arguably you've been playing football since you were, you know, Pop Warner. He said, we go to training camp to fight against our own tendencies. So if I'm a quarterback that I normally look left and then I throw right, the defense, the other team's defense is watching that film, so I'm trying to teach myself not to do that, to fight against my own tendencies. And you can only do that by looking at what you're not doing well so that you know how to fight against those tendencies.
That is such a great point. And you know, back to the fitness challenge, that's why I do things like that. I challenge myself to do things. Like, I am not a morning person. I don't like the mornings. I am a nocturnal being. I love my brother dearly because he is also a nocturnal being. We stay up in the midnight hour. We chit chat.
They try to call me. I ignore them because I'm not staying up with those jokers.
We get it up at night. But what I understand is if I am going to live a healthy lifestyle, I have to fight against my normal tendencies. I have to get up in the morning and work out before my mind knows what's happening. And so that's a really good point. And almost goes back to what something that Daddy always says is that successful people do things well
that they don't like to do.
Right. So I like to throw right, but I'm going to teach myself to throw left well.
A passion for improvement.
A passion for improvement. And so I, you know, my last tip, and I feel like I say this on so many episodes, is that, you know, if you're going to be a silent boss, you're going to have to grace yourself. You are going to make mistakes. You have to be able to dust yourself off, move on, get back in it. You can't still be sitting there talking about the mistakes you made. You have to just, you know, I was taking a golf lesson recently and, I hit the ball really poorly. And I said to the instructor, you know, well, I don't know what I did wrong. He said, why would we ever focus on the shots that you hit wrong and talk about what you did wrong? When you hit the ball right, we'll talk about what you did right so you can repeat that. We don't want to repeat bad shots. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about what you did wrong. We'll wait till you get back to a good shot. Let's move on.
I love that. Why would we talk about that? Let's focus on the good and do more of that.
More good.
My last tip is you've got to find ways to reward yourself personally. So Demetria is discussing the weight loss challenge. I recently did one of those as well. But instead of, you know, whenever I want something, it could be something little. I want to buy a new purse. I want to get a new set of golf clubs or a driver. Instead of just going out and buying it, I try to set some mini goal for myself so that I can earn that, so I can give myself a reward. And I think when you're a silent boss, because you're not getting all that shine, you got to find ways to reward yourself. And it can be something small. Like, I, you know, got to work before 8 o'clock every day this week. I'm going to get myself a bowl of ice cream. It doesn't have to be something significant. But when you are working hard and exhibiting discipline, you should reward yourself to remind yourself, hey, we did what we set out to do. We had the discipline, and that's why we're out here making big moves and being silent bosses.
That, yeah, I do that too. I did that this week. I'm like, if you get all your cardio in and you get to the gym every day, we're going to go get a massage. You know, we're going to go
and
reward
ourselves. How was that massage?
Oh, that's so interesting. I did something I'd never done. I did a Thai massage.
What's
because
that?
don't get it twisted, homies. I've been in a lot of pain with this fitness challenge. My body has been stretched in ways. So it was sort of George Jefferson like in that they like walked on my back and
that was a TV show in the 80s for the young homies.
Oh, right. So they like walked on my back and stretched me out. It was amazing.
Goodness.
I will definitely be going back because I have felt all these 42 years during this challenge. I've been soaking
in diet. I don't appreciate you telling my age.
Oh, right. I was telling my age, but so I've needed that massage. So yeah, that was my personal reward. Anyway,
and then new book alert. There's actually a whole book on this called The Invisibles. And he profiles, is by David Zuering, Z-U-E-R-I-N-G, and he profiles a selection of individuals, as I mentioned, anesthesiologists, agents, managers of celebrities, you know, graphic designers, people who are in careers that are behind the scenes, but are excellent at what they do. So we'll put that book out in the Corporate Homie store, but new book alert.
I like that. I'm going to pick that one up. As always, homies, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you have any topics that you would like for us to cover, please feel free to send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. If you have any questions, you can email us at questions@corporatehomie. Oh, also, we've had a couple people ask us about how to get in touch with us for speaking engagements. Use the info@corporatehomie.com to contact us about speaking engagements, or if you want us to be a guest on your podcast, that's the best way to contact us, is info@corporatehomie.com, or you can also, of course, email us individually.
As always, thank you so much for listening, and until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.